ever seen the rain coming down on a sunny day? Coming down on a sunny day. Coming down on a sunny day.
It's very interesting that we're starting a special series on stormproofing ourselves. Because, as you know, many of you know, I've been through a bit of a storm myself, okay? So it's quite appropriate that I can come and talk to you about what it means to go through a storm. Many of you are in a storm as well. I think I've been missing in action from Manhasset for about 4 months. And the reason for that is on the last Monday of February, I said to myself, I've got an extra microwave downstairs in my basement, and I know a family in the church who needs it, and I called them up and said, I'm going to bring it over to you. I went downstairs to get it, and it was heavier than I remember. Either that or I'm not as strong as I used to be, and I struggled with it up the stairs, and I got almost to the top of the stairs, and I kind of got the bottom of the microwave kind of got stuck in the door frame, and I was trying to get through. And at that point, my wife came around the corner and saw me, and as I was pushing through, the microwave was stuck, but I was going backwards the other way, and then I ended up falling backwards down the stairs and hit the floor in the basement, the concrete floor. And my wife said, I didn't even touch a step, but it's all the way. So now, I don't even go to the basement unless I have a parachute on, okay? But I hit pretty good, and you know, in that little second and a half that you have when you're falling, it's amazing how many thoughts can go through your mind, okay? I was thinking, oh no, why did I do such a stupid thing? Let's try to get this microwave up. And then thinking, you know, my whole life could change right here. My whole life could be different in the next, you know, what's going to happen. And I hit the floor, my head came back and hit the concrete. The microwave was there. I actually held on to it. In the NFL, I think they would have called it a catch, okay? But I actually, Becky said that as it came up, it kind of hit my mouth and really kind of bloodied my teeth and my all kinds of things. But it just, instead of it smashing into my head, she said, I just kind of lifted it up and threw it over my head. I have no memory of doing that, so I'm just thanking the Lord that somehow he gave me the reaction, the reflexes to be able to do all that. But I was on the ground, and I was amazed that I was still conscious, and I was moving my feet, moving my hands, and said, I can't believe I'm not paralyzed. And the emergency team came, took me to the hospital. They took some pictures of me, and they came in and said, well, you broke your back. So I do have a compression fracture in my T7, vertebrae in my back. They're still going to be working on that. In fact, next week I'm going to start the treatment to kind of start dealing with my back. But they said, but we found something else out. We were taking pictures of you and your back. We saw something on your kidney, your left kidney. And we're going to take a look at that. And what they found was that there was a big mass, a tumor of cancer on my left kidney. And so in April, I had surgery on my kidney, and they were unable to take the mass off of it, so they removed my kidney as well as the mass, but they got it all, and they told me I'm cancer-free, okay? So I've had quite a time here over these last few months. I'd never been in the hospital the last time I'd been in the hospital, I was 6 years old, I had my tonsils out, okay? So I've been spending most of my time either taking my wife to the hospital or coming to visit some of you in the hospital. But boy, do I have a different perspective now, okay, after having been there. And so wonderful introduction, here I have to talk to you about storms in our life, okay, and the things that are going on with all that. And we do know about storms, don't we? I mean, we're here in New York. We've had many hurricanes. We've had some big snowstorms this past, these months that I've been recovering. We had four northeasters, right? And I'm so thankful for the help that so many people in the church gave our family during that time, all the prayers that you prayed for us. My neighbors just stepped up. They cleaned my driveway. They just were taking care of the snow. I mean, it was just amazing the way that storms bring us together. And I think that's one of the benefits, that sometimes when we have these physical storms that, you know, yes, we complain about it a little bit, but isn't it amazing how we kind of come out of our houses, we meet our neighbors, we help each other. You know, people are much more kind and willing. Sometimes storms bring the best out in us, and that we really do pour out generosity to each other. But we also have our own personal storms. And you know, we have personal storms, things that come to us that attack us. Sometimes, well, just like we don't have a weather forecast for knowing when some of these storms are going to come. They can be accidents, they can be illnesses, they can be family situations, it could be a divorce, could be an addiction that kind of comes and stays with us for a long period of time, could be a betrayal by someone, could be our job situation, could be our finances. I mean, it's just any number of things that can happen can bring a storm into our life, and we never know quite when it's going to be over. We battle with it, and we struggle with it, and all these things. We kind of wonder, how do we get through all this? I mean, how do we handle this? This morning, we're going to look at a verse from the Bible, from John chapter 16. And it's, I would say, it's one of the most discouraging verses in the whole Bible, at least part of it. It's on the screen there in front of you. John 16, 32 and 33 says, "These things I have spoken to you, that you may have peace." Jesus has been talking to his disciples. He's been telling them all that's going to happen. He told them how the world's going to hate them and how he's going to be giving his life and how he's going to be leaving. And they're like, "Whoa, my goodness, they're so upset. You talk about a storm that's brewing." They're like, "How in the world is this happening?" And Jesus said, No. "I'm telling you these things so that you'll have peace in your heart." And they're going, "We're not getting the peace. You know, everything you're telling us is making us more anxious and more upset." And then he says, "In this world, you'll have tribulation." Some versions say trials and trouble and tribulation. I mean, Jesus is just laying it on us. And you kind of look at that and say, gee, this isn't very encouraging. This seems to be very depressing. That this is, Jesus tells us, his disciples, if we follow him, we're going to have trouble. I mean, I think that's always one of the things, that the reason people come to God is to get away from trouble. The reason that, you know, it's when we have trouble, we want to come to God and want him to take all the trouble away from us. That's why we pray, right? Take the pain away, take the problems away in these things. And Jesus is saying to us, no, guess what? In this world, you're going to have a lot of trouble. You're going to have a lot of trials. You're going to have a lot of tribulation. Things are going to really come against you. But then he switches it around, and look, he turns that discouraging verse into a very encouraging verse, because he says, but cheer up, be of good cheer, get a positive attitude, put a smile on your face. You know, I've overcome the world. It's like walking around in your neighborhood with the snowstorm coming, and everyone's rushing to the grocery store, buying loaves of bread, milk, right? You know, we empty out the gas stations and everything else. And you walk around your neighborhood and go, boy, isn't it exciting? We're going to have 16 inches of snow tomorrow. Your neighbors are like, well, what's wrong with you? I said, no. You say, this is going to be great, you know, because we're really going to be able to overcome this whole situation. This is going to be a great time for our neighborhood. And I remember when we had the blizzard of 78, we were the only family in the block. Well, number one, Becky was like pregnant with our second son. We were the only family in the block that had a gas stove. And so while everybody else's power went out and nobody else could cook, we were still cooking with gas, right? And so we were making breakfasts and taking them to all the different people up and down the street. And people were coming in, and we could actually stay warm. We closed off the doors, and we baked cookies all day long, you know? And nothing makes me happier than fresh baked cookies, right? But you know, sometimes, you know, here's Jesus saying to his disciples, guess what? You're going to have trouble. Trouble's coming. But cheer up. Have a good attitude. You know what? Because I've overcome the world. I'm in charge here. I can handle this whole thing. And, you know, the storm's coming, but don't worry about all of this. Jesus often talked about this. He said that sometimes storms in our life really test, you know, whether we know him and follow after him. Remember the story he told us about two houses? He said, if you listen to my words, and if you don't listen to, if you don't follow them, you're like a person who builds a house on the sand. And when the storm comes, he doesn't say if the storm comes, he knows the storm. He says when the storm comes and the wind beats against it and the rain comes down, guess what? That house falls apart. It collapses. He said, but if you're a person who hears my words, hears my voice, listens to my word, if you grab a hold of this and obey it in your heart, guess what? You're like a man who builds his house on the rock. And when the storm comes, the house stands. Even though the wind beats against it and the rain beats against it and everything wants to take it down, he holds on to it. Jesus said storms sometimes really help us to know where we where we stand with him and what we're really all about. So Jesus talks to us about these storms, and he's telling his disciples, trouble's coming, but cheer up, I've overcome the world. Now, I think some of you are hoping that I'm going to be explaining to you why storms come to us in our life. But I got bad news. I don't know the answer. I don't know why things come. I don't know why disappointments come to your into your life. I mean, I'm a very much a cause and effect guy. One of the things I struggle with all the time is when something bad happens, I'm always trying to figure out, now, why did this happen? What caused this? Because if I can figure that out, then we won't do it again. Then bad things won't happen. But you know, we don't live in a cause and effect world all the time. We can't always figure out the answer to these things. So today I can't give you an answer as to why you're going through what you're going through. The storms in your life, I can't tell you what caused it or where it's coming from. I can't tell you how long it's going to last. I don't know all the answers to all these things. But what I've learned is that Christians, followers of Jesus, Jesus was right. We do have storms in our life. It's probably a big misunderstanding, big misconception that somehow the more faith we have, that God will somehow isolate us, protect us. He'll bubble-proof us. He'll put bubble wrap around us. He'll keep us, somehow protected from bad things happening. But it's not true. I mean, tough things happen to people of faith. And don't misunderstand all of that. We kind of wonder, well, why does that happen? Look at this verse in Romans chapter 5. Very interesting. Why do Christians experience trials? Why is it that God would let things happen to you? We'll read it together with me. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Okay, that's trouble, right? Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So we have the Holy Spirit in us. We've received Jesus into our life. God's Spirit is living inside of us. You would think that that would make it so that we could be super protected and that God wouldn't let anything bad happen. No, God lets us go through tribulation. Why? Because tribulation builds perseverance in us. Some of you are dealing with pain day after day, week after week. You've been going through pain for a long period of time. You're learning how to manage your pain. You're learning how to deal with your pain. You're learning how to push through the pain. And it's still there, right? You're learning perseverance. There are athletes that we watch, who take our tennis star, Serena Williams or someone. She'll start to play and she'll have some injury or she'll have some difficulty. She'll not be playing well. She may be behind in all these things, but what does she do? Does she quit? No. She kind of finds the strength to keep on going, to keep on playing, to find a way to kind of get through this whole thing. And we see people who do this in all areas of life. And God says, we go through tribulations because tribulations build perseverance. That means the ability to keep on going even when we're discouraged, even when we're in pain. And perseverance builds character so that we say, well, I'm not a person who gives up easily. One of my core values is that I keep on doing what's right, even sometimes when it's hard. And perseverance builds character, and character then builds hope. And you say to yourself, hey, we can, you know, what, this storm is coming? Well, guess what? We got through the last storm. And look at the good things that happened through all of that. We'll get through this storm. And we kind of put it together and kind of walk through with all that. I had the privilege of really living this out many, many summers in my life. From like the early 70s all the way into the 90s, every summer I would take a group of students and go on a bicycle trip. And we would ride our bikes from Long Island all the way up to Cape Cod, to Boston, to Maine. A couple of years we went to Montreal, we went to Niagara Falls and back on bicycles, and I would take 30, 40 young people with us, and we'd stay at churches along the way. And, we learned a lot about this. Back to that verse from Romans 5 we just read is one of our favorite verses on the bike trip, because there's not all flat roads between here and Niagara Falls. Not all downhill, right? There's a lot of uphill climbs. And you kind of look at these and say, I can't do this. My legs really hurt, you know. I don't have enough energy. Well, let's keep going, okay? Let's keep perseverance. Keep going to get, you know, all the way to the top. We work our way to the top and we kind of go, whoa, I can't believe I made it. And go down the hill, and then guess what? There's another hill. We kind of go, well, I can't do this. Well, you just did the last one. Let's keep working. And after a while, you have a different attitude. You got to say, yes, those are hills, but guess what? We're going to go through this. We would have days when it would rain. And when it would rain and you're on a bicycle, you know, there's no windows to roll up, okay? And you got no wipers to turn on, right? You just got to wear all the dirt and the rain's got to come off the wheel and go right up your chest. You have this line up your chest, you have a line up your back. Your tennis shoes and your socks are just soaked. And you're saying, why in the world am I here? I just want to stop, okay? I just want to get off of this trip. But you got to keep going, because we have a destination and we keep pushing through. We always used to say, on the days when the rain would come, all the makeup came off, right? Not just off the ladies on the trip. It came off the guys on the trip. Because all the people, you know, whatever your posture was about how cocky you were and how strong you were and everything else, all it takes is a good dousing with the rain, and you're going, oh boy, you know, the real person comes out. Your impatience, your anger, you know, your weaknesses, they all emerge in quickly with all that. And sometimes it just rains all day, and you're like, are we going to make it through all this? We discovered that on the trips where it would rain 2 or 3 days, the results of the trip, what happened in the students' lives, what happened in them, was so much different, so much better than on the trips when it didn't rain. So we started praying for rain. Because we knew it was going to really, you know, give people a real turnaround in their life in terms of what they could learn to go through and everything else. One year we kind of overdid it and it rained 8 out of 9 days, right? So, okay, that's enough. We don't want to learn any more about all this, right? But guess what? Through this whole situation, sometimes, you know, we had to put this together. Look at this next slide. Because we would talk about this, our tribulations, you know, on that comes the perseverance, that we don't give up. Yes, it's going to rain. Yes, we don't want to really go into this whole thing, but we've got no other choice. Let's get through this. And it builds character in us. That we're not people that are afraid of a little rain. God's given us wonderful water repellent covering here, you know. And that we can go through all of this. And then, guess what? We can give hope. We have hope, a sense of, you know, we can handle this. And it's not the end of the world. And so God uses these things in our life to kind of help us through all these things. So you've got rainstorms, you've got trouble, you've got hills in your life too, right? And so God wants to use all these things to make you more and more like him. And so he gives us this whole thing. He tells us, he shows us what it means to be an overcomer. Get up over the hills, get through the rain, get through the storms in our life. Look what how we define what it means to be an overcomer. Definition. It talks about the fact that we can handle defeats. We can prevail. to win. We can be victorious in difficult circumstances. And many of you are doing this right now. Some of you are from very rough spots in where you work. Some very discouraging people. But you're still showing up. You're still there, giving your best, working through it. It hasn't been easy. Some people aren't saying the things that are truthful or helpful to you and some of those things, but you're not giving up. You're pushing through these. You're being an overcomer. You're not going to let the situation push you down and destroy you. You're going to say, the situation's hard, and it's very discouraging, but I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep pushing through this whole thing. And that's how God wants us to be in the world, in this world where we live. Jesus Christ came. He is our overcomer. And that he gives us a spirit. He gives us this call to be an overcomer. It's what, look at what Inga read this morning in our worship time from 1 John. She said, you know, for everyone who's born of God overcomes the world. So that means that if if you've given your life to Christ, if you've opened yourself up and said, God, I want you in my life, I want Jesus to die, you know, his death on the cross to be for my sins, I want to follow him, I want you to lead me, Lord, guess what? Your new identity is that one of the things he called you are now an overcomer, because his spirit lives inside of you. So this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. That our faith in Jesus is that he's stronger than all these forces of the world, these things that would seek to destroy us. And who is it that overcomes the world? Well, only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So what we have as Christians is not protection from trouble. What we have is that we have someone inside of us. We have the Spirit of God inside of us. The presence of Jesus, that we can handle it, because we know that he's helping us in pulling us out. Take a look at this next picture. Have you ever been in this situation? I mean, your car slides off the road into the ditch, right? Or you get out to your car and you've left your lights on, you know, and you got nothing. Your battery's dead, and you're stuck in this situation. Maybe you hit a pothole and you damaged your wheel. And your rim is bent, or your shocks are messed up in some way, and you're stuck, right? Except maybe you've got AAA. Maybe you got one of those little cards. And you look on that card, and there's a phone number on that card. And you could dial that 800 number and tell them where you are. And guess what? Just sit there and be patient, because they're coming. And they're going to bring a truck. And it's going to have a great battery, it's going to have a good line, and they're going to hook it onto your car, and they'll pull you out of the ditch, right? And they'll be there to kind of help you along the way. Maybe you got OnStar, I mean, there's all different groups and all that. But how many of you, does AAA give you peace of mind, right? Because you know that if you called on them, they'll be there to help you out. Now, you may have to wait a little bit in New York, but they're coming, all right? I would say to you, in all honesty, guess what? You and I have that same kind of assurance, maybe even better, that we have triple G, okay? We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, right? So he knows where we are, and all we have to do is call out to him and say, I'm in a ditch, you know? I'm in trouble here. I got no power. And he's promised, he said, listen, I will keep my promise. I'll reach it. He'll be there to help us to deal with whatever situation that we're in these things. And so he's capable. He can handle all of that. You might say, well, I don't know. Can I really trust Jesus to kind of really solve my problems? Well, stop and think about it. You're going to trust AAA, okay? Jesus actually lifted all the sins of the world off of us through his death on the cross. I think he's got the power to lift whatever circumstances you're going through, and that he'll be there to help you in all these things. So the question is, you know, how do we overcome when the storms are raging in our life? The Bible gives us some very good instructions. In fact, a lot of the Bible heroes, if I took the time today on this hot day, it's so nice and cool in here, you'd stay for a couple of more hours, wouldn't you? Yeah. I mean, I could go through kind of Bible hero by Bible hero, from Joseph to David to Daniel, to Simon Peter, to the Apostle Paul. Every one of them had trouble. Every one of them fell into trouble. And God was constantly rescuing them, helping them. All those stories give us good guidance as to how God can do this for us. You read the Psalms. Many of the Psalms are about people crying out, saying, I'm in deep trouble. God, come and help me. We read that and help in that way. We read about Paul writing about it, putting on the full armor of God. That the way that if we take the truth of the gospel, if we take the helmet of salvation, you know, get dressed every day and kind of have the armor of God on to protect us when the storms come into our life. There's so much in the Bible. I'll just give you one that I have used a lot in my life. Just one verse from Romans 12, chapter 12, verse 12. So they're easy to remember. 12:12 from Romans, okay? And here it is. Three things. Be joyful in hope. Be patient in affliction and faithful in prayer. Say it with me. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. Okay? So what does it mean to be joyful in hope? Joyful in hope says, instead of being negative, instead of being sad, instead of being discouraged about things, I look at things and go, well, good, something good can happen. I'm the guy that's walking around the neighborhood with the snow shovel, waiting, you say, isn't this great that we got so much snow? Isn't it great that we're out working together? My wife's making eggs and bacon for everybody on our gas stove. And guess what? We'll bring some over to your house. I mean, it's the kind of thing that we can be joyful in hope in all situations. That we can say, I'm looking forward to what's ahead. Something good's going to come out of all this. Now, that's a real change in attitude, isn't it? God wants us to be joyful in hope because we know that in the end, our final destination is with Him. We know that God's really in charge of things, and even though it looks very discouraging now, He's going to work it out. Even in death, even in the biggest fear of life, we know that Jesus has the answer to that, that the end isn't bad. The blessing never ends. What God's going to do for us, He's going to take care of all this. Where we're headed is much better than where we are. So be joyful in hope. Say it. Be joyful in hope. So tomorrow, when you're really discouraged, this week when things are kind of coming unglued, just kind of step on your own toe and just kind of go, hey, joyful in hope. Joyful in hope. Come on. And then it says we're called to be patient in affliction. You say that with me again too, okay? Patient in affliction. Now, when you get hurt and you end up in the hospital, you know, the first couple hours are kind of exciting. You got a lot of pain and they're working on you and everything else. It's someplace about 8 or 10 hours in or the next day when you're in the hospital when you start going, I hate this place, okay? And I hate this situation. When am I going to get out of here? When's this pain going to stop? And when, you know, and suddenly you're losing all your patience. You're like, I'm done with this. You know, as you know, our pastors have been getting it's been pretty exciting. Pastor Nathan in January had 4 weeks of being in the hospital with a very bad illness. And then in February, I fell down the stairs. And if you haven't heard the news, Pastor Steve, on their family vacation a couple days ago, stepped off of a bad faulty step getting out of a van and tore a tendon in his knee. And he's had to come back from the vacation. He's going to have surgery tomorrow. And so you should be praying for him. I told Pastor Jerry and Pastor Jim and Pastor Greg, you guys better go hide, okay? We better build a bunker here. And you guys, because I don't know what's going to happen next with all these things, right? But, so, you know, and I talked to Pastor Steve in this last day, the last 24 hours, and he wrote this morning in his post, he said, already, you know, the idea that I can't run, because he loves to go out and run and jog, he loves to go out and be active, he loves to be moving around, they're telling him after the surgery it's going to be weeks, maybe even months, kind of before he can really be on the go again, and already it's hitting him. And you know how that feels, right? because we're impatient with the afflictions that happen in our life. And the Word of God tells us, hey, be patient in affliction. God's using all this time to get us ready. I've been walking with my cane all these months. This week is the first week I've put my cane away. And God's been giving me the strength to be able to do this. God's going to work in your life to make these things happen. Now, third thing is this. Say it with me. Be faithful in prayer. We all have rough times. I had some rough moments in the hospital. Some of my nights there in the hospital were very difficult, very painful, very discouraging. I prayed some very honest prayers, some very loud prayers, to kind of say, God, I need your help. I can't handle this anymore. And you've been there. Some of you are there right now. And God wants us to call out and to pray, to ask him to come be with us, to help us in these situations. He keeps the line open. He says, you keep calling. You keep talking to me and helping in these ways. So let's say these things. I want you to take these home, okay, today. So what does he want us to do? Be joyful in hope. Be patient in affliction. Be faithful in prayer. This is the tool. These are the steps of being an overcomer. In the midst of a storm, you can get through all of these things and help with that. Now, let's be honest. Look at this next slide. Overcomers aren't perfect people, okay? Doesn't mean that somehow we've kind of reached some high level of spirituality, you know, that we're somehow better than everybody else in the world. We fail like everybody else. But you know what it is? We just don't give up. We fall down, we get back up. We have rough days, we just keep going. We just kind of find the strength. And we may have to go slower, and it may not be exactly what we want to do, but we just going to keep going. We're going to keep repenting. We're going to keep calling on God. We're going to keep surrendering ourselves to Christ. We won't know the answers why we go through things, but you know what? We trust him. And if he's put us here, he's going to be with us through all of these things. And he is our overcomer, and we follow after him. You believe that? I mean, that's what it really means to follow him and to do that. So God shows, and I think what God does is he uses our lives as a kind of a demonstration, a display of his power. I can't tell you how many times people came into the hospital and said to me, wow, you got a good attitude. And I said, well, yes, I think I'm really trusting that God's going to work all this out. In fact, many of the doctors said to me, you know, they said they would come in the end of my bed, they'd take the chart out, they'd read my chart, they'd look at me and they'd go, you know, buddy, this fall you took, that really saved your life. And for a while I didn't believe it, but after about 8 or 10 doctors told me this, they said, we would never have known that that cancer was inside you. You would never have had any symptoms. By the time we would have found this out 2 or 3 years from now, you'd have been in very bad shape. But you know what? This fall you took, that changes everything. So I started telling people, well, Jesus pushed me. Then he caught me, okay? So I think he'll do the same for you, okay? I think sometimes the things that God's putting you through, it may not be because you have cancer in your body, it may be because of other things. Sometimes he lets you go through things and you say, why does this happen to me? But you know what? He's using this to prepare you, to protect you for what's ahead in your life. He's going to use the difficulties that you have to help you with all of these things. What does God do? God shows off through our lives that we can be able to rejoice and persevere and overcome because of him in us. It isn't so much your words that are going to really impress your neighbors and your family and your friends about your faith. It will be the way you go through difficulties and struggles, the way that you overcome. They will go, wow, your faith is for real. Let me tell you one more story and then I'm done, okay? In the hospital, at the Huntington Hospital, they have taken, the ceiling is what you see most of. When you're laying in the hospital bed, I learned, boy, you take a look at the ceiling. It's all, it's just the ceiling. So they decided to do something. They would, in every room, they'd take one ceiling tile out. They would put in a ceiling tile they had painted something on. And in my ceiling tile looked like this. Take a look here. There was a, you can see a little boat there on the edge of the shore. You know why that boat, you know why that connected with me? That has a lot to say about where I think my life is and where it has been and where it's going. I love the story from Luke chapter 5. It's kind of been my life story, where Jesus gets into the boat with the fishermen, remember, with Simon Peter. They haven't caught any fish all night. They're like, we're not going fishing. Jesus says, I'm going with you. Let's go out. They're like, oh, brother, here we go. You know, how can the preacher tell us how to fish? They go out, and what do? They catch more fish than they ever caught in their life because they listen to him. And when that happens, Peter immediately, like me, says, Lord, get away from me. I'm a very sinful man. You know, you don't even belong in my life. And Jesus says, no, I belong in your life because now I'm going to transform your life. I'm going to make you into a fisher of men. And it says at the very end of that chapter, at the very end of that story, it says, and when they came back to shore, they left their boats and they followed him. So when I got to my hospital room, and I kind of like feeling like, why is this happening to me? You know, and what's going on? Is this going to be nothing? All bad stuff. I looked up and there was that picture, just God saying to me, Jack, there's your life. You have left the boat of your life. You've said you're going to follow me. I'm still here with you. I haven't abandoned you. I'm right here with you in this situation. I'm going to walk with you for these weeks and months and years that are ahead. You've got a lot of things still to do. I've got great plans for you. And then don't be discouraged at this point. That was my sign. And I think God will show you a sign too. He'll show you how to overcome. Do you believe that? Let's bow our heads and pray, okay? Thank you, Lord, for all that you've given us today. Thank you for how you've spoken to us. Thank you for the music that we've sung today. All these songs that we've been singing have been talking about how you're with us in our troubles and in our trials. Thank you for your faithfulness to us. I thank you for how you've protected me and walked with me. You've made this a very special time in my life. And thank you for all these people who prayed for me and have been so generous and kind. And we pray that we can do this for everyone in our church, that we can rally around each other, not just with our own strength, but with knowing that you're with us, and that you're taking us through all of these things. So, Jesus, we put our trust in you today. For the storms in our life, well, Lord, we pray and ask that you'll be with us, that you'll help us. Just even as we pray right now, if you're having a storm in your life right now of some kind, would you just raise your hand? Just kind of say, yes, I'm going through a storm. I'm having trouble right now, yes. So many of us, right? Lord God, you see these people. Put your hand on them. Touch them. Help them. Give them the courage to be able to be joyful in hope, to be patient in their affliction, and to help them to be faithful in their prayer. We ask that you'll do this in Jesus' name. Amen.